Hi, this is Jeremy Raddick. I was Gareth in the Doctor Who TV movie, and you're listening to Gallifrey Public Radio.
I'm John from Game Life Balance US, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready, because geekiness commences in 3, 2, 1.
Greetings, fans of Doctor Who podcasts. We have an important message
that we'd like to share with you. We've all been moved by recent events.
The survivors at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School are using their voices
to speak out for those who cannot,
to say never again,
and demand change.
We are asking the Doctor Who community to follow their example and to shine a light on this urgent issue.
This March, representatives of all your favorite Doctor Who podcasts and some special guests will be coming together to do a podcast commentary of the 1969 Patrick Troughton story, The War Games.
That's 10 episodes of Classic Who, with more than 40 writers, authors, podcasters, and fans participating, including a special commentary with Stephen Moffat.
But here's the thing. We're not putting out this podcast on any one show's feed.
We're only releasing it to listeners who provide a donation to an organization committed to ending gun violence.
Here's what you have to do. Make a donation of $10 or more to
March for Our Lives,
or
the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence,
or Moms Demand Action,
or the Community Justice Reform Coalition.
These organizations are U.S.-based
and focus on changing American laws and policy.
They welcome international donations.
However, if you live outside the U.S. and want to donate to an organization in your own country,
you can find some suggestions at realitybombpodcast.com/whoagainstguns.
If you send a copy of your receipt to GallifreyStands@realitybombpodcast.com, you'll get information on where to download your special commentary podcast later in March.
You can find more details at realitybombpodcast.com/whoagainstguns.
The Doctor has implored us to be kind, and in 2018,
amplifying a good cause is one way that we can be kind
to each other
and our world. So let's get involved.
So let's get involved.
So let's get involved.
So let's get involved.
And be kind.
Welcome to Gallifrey Public Radio, a podcast dedicated to positive enjoyment of everything in the Doctor Who spectrum. Join us each week for discussions ranging from Hartnell to Whittaker and beyond. Your GPR hosts are Jay Whitten.
Safety measures are for chumps who don't know what they're doing.
Kier Hansen.
Oh, hold on. I saw it on my mixer. I turned up the suck. Hold on.
And Haley Malley.
I feel like I might need to carb up for next week's episode.
Oh, and
spoilers.
We do discuss recent news, episodes that have already aired in their home territories, and the occasional interesting rumor. But don't worry, if we look too far into the future, we'll give you a fair warning. Welcome to episode 275 of Gallifrey Public Radio, where you can make a sweet bungalow out of bamboo stalks and palm fronds and coconut shells, and you can perform dentistry on yourself with no sterile equipment or even anesthetic, but I swear to Omega, if you slap a bloody hand face on a volleyball and start calling the handles, I am voting you off this damned island. I'm Kier.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Jay, and this week we're going to take a game idea that we've toyed around a bit with in recent months and see if it has the makings of a future Who convention panel. That is, as long as it's accompanied by fruity cocktails with paper umbrellas in them and maybe a pig roast. No, wait, we've got a lot of vegan friends. Just go double on the drinks. That'll solve the problem. It's Desert Island Doctors, where we ponder which iteration of the Doctor would be the best to accompany us on a desert island with no means of rescue.
So yeah, this is a game that that we've tested out a few times, and we kind of enjoyed it. But we want to see, you know, you think to yourself, based on the original Desert Island discs, that there's really only so much you could do with it. And we may determine that. We may realize after the course of the next conversation, you know, this really didn't have legs. We shouldn't have done this, but we're taking you along for the ride. Sorry, we're not sorry. But the rules are, as Jay conveyed, pretty straightforward. Imagine yourself, you are trapped on a deserted island. You have no means of rescue. You have to have one of the iterations of the doctor with you to see you through. And the way that we're going to change this up from round to round is that the intent of why you're choosing that doctor will change based on the round. So you definitely, it's not a one size fits all or a one regen fits all in this case. So we'll go with actually the two that we've poked around with in the past might have the same answers we had the last time. We might not. I've been doing some extra thinking on this. I know at least one of my answers has changed. So I just don't remember which one. I just know it's different. So basically, obviously, right off the bat, you would think about survival, just day to day. How are you going to get through your day to day? Make sure that you take care of yourself. You keep yourself alive. And it's if that is your emphasis, if that is your goal, I want this doctor with me for daily survival. Who's it going to be? Jay, I'm going to turn to you first on this one.
Okay. Well, real quick before we start getting too far into it, are we allowing repeat answers? Like, so if, say, I think that, I think that 7 would be tremendously fun for entertainment, but then he'd really be good for escape too. Can I use him twice?
Yes. Yeah. By all means. Okay. It's the justification, regardless of the application.
All right. So as far as survival goes, I think that for that one, I'm actually changing my answer from what I had previously, and I'm going to go with the Ninth Doctor.
Ninth Doctor for survival. Okay.
Because he's got that stubborn streak where, no matter what task you put in front of him, as long as he sees the merit in it, he's going to follow it full bore. And I mean, he's clearly, survived the Time War, lost his entire species, and still continued on. Right. This guy knows how to survive.
Yeah. I didn't go through all that to die on some strip of sand somewhere.
Exactly.
Just because I couldn't figure out how to distill water. Got it. Okay.
Yep.
Haley, what do you got for survival?
I decided to stick with my guns and go with the same answer as last time. Third Doctor, if he can survive on this, backward planet for years, I think he can survive on an island and keep us alive. So going Third Doctor, Pertwee. Sticking with it.
Our entire household went with Pertwee simply because of the MacGyver factor.
If he can
create contraptions out of wine bottles and a couple of forks and a bit of an old clock, then he can take any flotsam or jetsam that washes up on shore and combine that with a few palm strands and maybe some flint and at least give you some. He'll give you fire. You'll definitely have fire because he likes blowing up things.
And he'll probably dance around it with his shirt off. Yeah. I have made fire.
Yeah, he was a little early for quoting the Doors. Missed it by just a couple of years to channel Jim Morrison, but yeah. All right. Entertainment. So the idea of, all right, well, you're on this island, you're going to get bored awfully fast. What are you going to do just to keep yourself entertained? Don't worry about survival. Let's assume you figured out some sort of a solution to that. Haley, I'll give you this one to you first.
I had to stick with my guns. I still think 11th Doctor is the silliest, most animated doctor we've ever been given, and I'm counting on him to entertain me for months at a time with his wavily arms.
Okay. Yeah. I would have a point of contention with that, not in any way to besmirch Matt Smith or the 11th Doctor, but just because I think that's a kind of a one-trick pony, and I'd want to change the channel after a week.
No, he's got a bunch of different hats he can wear. It's fine.
Okay. That's fair. All right. Jay, what would you do to keep yourself entertained? Which doctor would help you?
I think I nailed it last time. I'm going to stick with the 7th Doctor because you never know what he's going to pull out of those pockets.
That's very true. Julie actually made the same call. I threw these at her a little earlier to see what she would come up with, and she went with the 7th just because of sheer entertainment factor and just his ability to find the humor or the interest in even the strangest situation, either by pulling something out of his pocket or starting to make weird noises to himself, or who knows what, trading his spoons for coconut husks, I suppose. I personally went with 4th because there's no telling what's going to come out of that head, and at least it's going to make every day interesting.
Yeah.
It may kill you, but you'll die with a smile on.
I can totally see that. He was actually a really close second choice for me, just because, I mean, Tom Baker is just so enjoyable to watch anyway. It doesn't matter what you do to him. He's going to come back at you with a grin and some smart comment or something.
And unpredictable, extremely unpredictable, both in how he reacts to situations and what he chooses to do to get himself out of situations. So that aspect of it, I think, would definitely keep the entertainment factor high. All right. Now, sort of turning it around a little bit, the idea of maintaining sanity. This doesn't really go along with the idea of boredom, but might be something where the isolation or something of that sort really starts to get to you, and you need to make sure that you've got a doctor by your side who is going to keep you sane. So Baker's right out.
Yeah.
I mean, he's there to push you over the edge if you need sane. That.
Yeah. It's not like canceling sound waves where you can just... All right. So, Jay, what did you do for your sanity doctor selection?
This one, it took me a second to come to this, but I think I'm going to have to go with the second doctor. You know, he's got that warm, you know, that affability to him that just, no matter how crazy things get, he's going to look at you and just be like, well, that was a lot of fun, wasn't it? How about we, you know, he's that friendly kind of thing that he's always going to be able to keep you grounded.
Yeah. I'm going to jump ahead of you, Haley, because that was actually my selection as well. I just figured there's something rather, there's a calming nature, you know, when he's constantly, you'd see him in instances trying to talk Jamie down off of one of his panics, you know, ready to go at things full bore. If it comes down to it, sure, bung a rock at it. But, you know, he has that rationale and that ability to be able to kind of keep things from being as dire as they may seem. So, yeah, totally agree on that one. But, Haley, who'd you choose?
I went with the first doctor. I just feel like he would be, you know, very stern with you. And anytime you started to, you know, meander into insanity, he would be like, no, knock it off. That is silly business. Yeah. And that's not what we do here.
He would not brook the silliness.
And he would have no problem slapping someone who was going into hysterics.
This is true.
Cuff the ear. Just cuffing the ear. Also had a decent suggestion of going with Eighth, because Eighth has the ability to make everybody feel okay about what's going on, even though everything's in flames and there are lasers perforating people standing next to you and who knows what, or you're getting pushed out of an airlock. Everything's going to be all right. You're going to be just fine. Don't worry. I got a plan.
Don't worry. The doctor's
here. I'm not sharing it, but I got a plan. Okay. Next category, protection. Now, specifically, I put this in there. Protection is different than survival. Survival is obviously giving yourself just the means of sustenance, the getting from day to day. Protection is, you know, wild animals, aboriginal tribes of headhunters, or who knows what else decides to come invade your space. So who is your doctor of protection, Haley?
I went with Nine for this one because, you know, sometimes, just sometimes, everyone lives. He was the only doctor to program it into the TARDIS to send the companion home if something should happen to him. Mm. So I'm going with Nine.
All right. Jay?
You know, it almost goes without saying, I'm going to go with the War Doctor here. I mean, he's seen combat. He knows what the heck he's doing with the gun. You know, if anyone's going to be able to like get in front of you and protect you from whatever comes, it's going to be him.
Mm-hmm. Here in the household, we started obviously trying to go towards Third because of Venusian Aikido, you know, Vulcan neck pinches, all the different ways to be able to take down adversaries. But then I thought about it and thought, you know what? I'm going to take a little bit more of a pacifist approach to this one, and I'm going to bring old Sixie along. Because if anybody can scream down a tribe of headhunters or make them question their actions by besmirching them with fluent speech and a stern talking to, not to mention the fact that coat, they might revere him as a god. Sort of a C-3PO thing going on there.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Now, here's one that this sort of breaks protocol for the game, but I don't care. And that's escape. There's no hope of rescue off this island, but what doctor would you want with you to try and come up with your means of escape? And Haley, I'll give you this one first.
Okay, I went with Tin, because, you know, he's the one that always stands near the door. He's always got a way out. always has a banana. He's got that going for him. So, Tin. Tennant's going to get us out of this.
Seems to be prepared. Jay?
Yeah, I'm going new Who as well, but I'm going to go with the 11th Doctor because he's got that magic wand sonic screwdriver that can solve any problem, no matter how extreme or how outlandish. You know, think Power of Three, and that tells you all you need to know about solving things at the last moment.
This is the point where, as we're recording here, we tend to do things by video conference so that we can see each other and know when somebody's either passed out in their chair or maybe had a heart attack or something. But I'm going to use this opportunity to be able to hold up to the camera and show that I had written down 11th because of the, in quotey fingers, magic wand. That is literally...
I believe that says magic wang.
Don't make fun of my handwriting.
I'm just saying I'm reading it, and that's what it says.
That's very anti-left-handed of you to make fun of my written script. Anyway, there's your flappy hands for you. All right, last category, and this is what I put in because I just wanted to see what would happen. You're on the desert island. You're not getting off of this thing. There could be barbarians at the beach or who knows what. You know, you're done for. So, who is your surrender doctor? You know, if I'm going out, I'm going out on my terms, whatever those terms are. And your doctor selection, I think, will say a great deal about how you want to bow out of this horrible experience. So, Haley, who is your doctor to be at your side as you surrender and give in?
I went with 8 for this. You know, we'll just go, we'll have a magic drink, and we'll let the next guy deal with all these problems.
just hand me that goblet. Give me that thing.
Yep.
Let me be a warrior. All right. Let me be brave. Oh.
Oh, too soon. Oh.
Take a seagull to the chest.
Hey, that's no joke. Those things are mean.
They are. If they know you have French fries,
oh, geez.
You're done for.
Somebody's losing an eye. All right.
Yeah. Jay, who is your surrender doctor?
You know, I'm of two minds about this. And it's very difficult for me to choose because if I go ever so slightly meta, I want to go with the 10th Doctor just because, I mean, David Tennant is like one of the most perfect human beings ever. And just having that much time around him can only lead to good things. However, I think that even though the 10th Doctor was the one to accept the slow path, mm-hmm. I don't know that, I mean, I think he would wind up going a little bit moody towards the end. And so I'm not sure if I could stand that. So I think final answer, I'm going to have to go with 12. It's going to be rough for the first little while, but once he gets used to me, things will be okay.
All right. The household here started going with 12th because they saw it as going out with a bang. It's just a rock show. Pyrotechnics. You know, leaping off cliffs, air guitar, down to the rocks below, what have you. I started going with 10th because of his empathy. It's somebody who, you know, it's the I'm sorry, I'm so, so sorry thing that you want to have there. Somebody who commiserates with you when you've gotten to the point where you realize that there's no way out of this. So you just want a friend there who just says, yeah, this really sucks, doesn't it? But you know what? It sucks for both of us. So that's a plus. Two negatives equal a positive. And I thought, well, that's kind of dreary. So I flipped it at the last moment and said, because this is the end for me, this is my giving in to the fact that I have no way up this island. I'm not going to survive, whether it's a day or a week or what have you. I'm going to choose 13th because I'm not going to get to see their era. So I want to be able to spend as much time with them as I can before I'm out.
Purely pure reasons to choose 13, I'm sure.
No, but in all honesty, that's you know, if I, all right, I'm not going to get to see the whole season. I at least want to see episode 1.
Okay.
So it's funny that you bounced around from 12 to 10 and landed on 13 because my first reaction was to go 13 and then ended up with 10 and 12.
I also considered choosing 13, but I felt like that was cheating since we haven't seen anything from her.
So you're all full of lies. Yeah. Well, there you have it. I'd love to get feedback from listeners as to whether or not some of these games that we play have merit to be able to play them in full like this, or keep them at a little short segments that we do from time to time when we do a little extra piece for about 5-10 minutes and just fit it in there to give these things a test run. Or whether you even think this is something, if we blew it out large scale and got some guest contestants in and stuff, that we could do this at the cons, as Jay mentioned at the intro. That's how some of our existing games, like the $100,000 Pyramid at the End of the Earth, and, well, what's going to be coming around to the third iteration of Oh No, Who Didn't, which will be showing up again, I'm so sorry, at Regen in a couple of weeks.
Is
I'm
that
really
just
not
have
sorry.
A bonus round of Who's Your Donna?
Ooh, would you text me that before we're done so I don't forget that? Because I'm going to forget that. All right. I might have to, especially with the panel that we're going to be putting together for this. Who's Your Donna might go a little pear-shaped, but never eat pears. For folks that think that one of these ideas does or doesn't have merit, or that it feels like it plays pretty well, but you'd like to see it done a little differently maybe, or you've got an idea for a way to tweak it, like Haley just said about adding a bonus round to one of our existing games, please let us know. Get on the tweet face and get on the Slack book and all those things and let us know what we could do to make this serve you better. Help us help you.
You know what I just remembered? Because I visited our Facebook page today and it said, call me. We have a voicemail line, guys. Remember?
I don't even remember what that number is.
I don't either. I always forget that it exists.
It's in the outro. I know that much.
That is in the outro. I edit the thing and I don't even listen to the phone number at the outro. I just hear Jay say, just leave us a voicemail.
But yeah, you can call and leave us a voicemail, guys. Isn't that crazy?
No one actually uses their phones for phones anymore.
No.
This thing makes phone calls too?
There's a guy at the Verizon store that was trying to sell this other guy up on a phone upgrade and said, yeah, well, you know, we want to make sure that it's easy for you to find the phone app in it. Like, the phone app? It's a phone that has apps.
No, that's not
true anymore, and I think you know it.
I don't answer calls anymore either. But my carrier wants to charge me extra for wireless caller ID. They gave it to me free for a week because the first week is free.
Oh, yeah.
But then you can see who all the telemarketers really are. Anyway, off topics here. I think we got some news that we can discuss, shall we?
A little bit, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. We'll commence with the unfortunate news and build ourselves back up into a feel-good state. We did... over the course of this past week, lose the recurring character actor Peter Miles. We most recently saw him actually as Professor Whittaker in Invasion of the Dinosaurs, you know, one responsible for flooding London with all of these creatures. Also happened to play a rather questionable Professor Dr. Lawrence in Doctor Who and the Silurians. You'll even see him come around in Genesis of the Daleks when we get around to that one on our classic rewatches. Continued to work within the Whovian scope all the way up through Big Finish Audio. He was in the I, Davros series, which is really kind of an interesting take on that extended universe. But nonetheless, passed away on the 27th of February. So that's a considerable loss to the classic Whovian fandom and all of us, for that matter. A little bit of nice news about what has taken place over the past week really has to do with the man with the beard that I can never seem to quite emulate.
You got close.
We will wish a happy 100th birthday to the late Roger Cesar Marius Bernard de Delgado Torres Castillo Roberto. Or as we know him,
Robert Delgado.
The master.
Roger.
The master for short. Amazing body of work. And we thoroughly enjoyed, especially on this classic rewatch cycle that we've been doing over this past couple of years, seeing him in his arrival during the Pertwee era and just setting an amazing path for the character going forward. Want to really impress yourself. Look over his CV on IMDb. And then go and dig a little deeper and find out what he did as a stage actor prior to that, and it's just incredible stuff. You know, it makes you really value who we had to create this role in the first place and make it as iconic as it was. Yes. Did we get to a saturation point where we saw the Master showing up rather often in the stories? Sure.
Maybe, yeah.
Did it make the character any less entertaining? Never. Never. Happy birthday to Roger Delgado. Yeah. Last thing here, I know we mentioned it last week, but now that the project is on its feet, and it's not only on its feet, it is running full speed right now. The hashtag Who Against Guns campaign that I've been mentioning quite a bit through our Twitter account and have been helping with some of the social media outreach for is going gangbusters right now. They are, as of the day of our recording here, we are 6 days into the campaign, and they are closing in on the $7,000 raised mark. Why is that figure significant? Well, the backstory on the whole thing is like this. Because there are about 40 different voices getting involved in this project, from Who podcasters to writers, Paul Cornell, to comic book artists like Rachel Stott and so forth, and they're all getting involved with doing live commentaries, overlay commentaries for the War Games. So people who donate a minimum of $10 towards one of the supported charities that are associated with this fundraising campaign will get, it's kind of like a Patreon thing where you'll get exclusive access to these episode commentaries. Now, the thing is, War Games is long. There are 12 episodes to this story. So we lined up a bunch of people to get in the recording studio, and this is all being coordinated by Joy and Graham over at Reality Bomb, and they're doing a phenomenal job with all of this, with the support of a lot of great folks from the Cole Hill AV Club, Radio Free Scaro, and ourselves, and on and on. Verity Podcast is in on it. There's a ton of names involved, but they wanted to do one better, so they set a stretch goal. They didn't think that they were, you know, they didn't really want to divulge what they thought they were going to be able to earn for all of these charities that are devoted towards ending gun violence, the Brady Campaign, March for Our Lives, and so forth. So when they realized the kind of momentum that was coming into play, they got contacted by Stephen Moffat, who said, "All right, mates, if you can hit $7,000 by Sunday night, which is the night we're recording right now, that he will come in. He will call in and he will do a commentary for one of the War Games episodes, personally. I think he knows his classic Who. I've heard he's kind of keen on it. So maybe
I'll have he did get third in a trivia contest one time.
Yeah, that's not last place.
I'm going to need to check his qualifications.
So we're working towards that right now. And it's very, very easy to find out how to get more details on it. You can either track the hashtag Who Against Guns, or you can head over to realitybombpodcast.com/WhoAgainstGuns and read up all the details there. It's also been supported in Comics Beat magazine from E.D. Nugent, and a bunch of people have been writing up some great material on it. Den of Geek has been covering it, and on and on and on. This will continue to go on until the 12th. Fundraiser activities close on the 12th, so you have an opportunity for $10. I mean, it's two fancy cups of coffee, you know, if you skip them for that day, or two breakfast bagels with lox. If you pass on those, you've got your $10 to spare. And it gives you access to all of this content. So really, really encourage people to do so. There are friends of ours, podcasts, who don't even like Moffat, who are supporting it. Thank you, Dr. Hooch. Brandon and Danica are like, all right, you know our thoughts on Moffat, but this is a good effort, so throw $10 at him. And that's $10 American. Sorry, Canada. But there are actually Canadian organizations that you can donate to as well, and those are all listed over on the campaign's main page there at Reality Bomb. So that's it for our news this week. What are we doing next week?
Well, next week we're actually taking a trip back to Peladon. This is exciting.
I'm going to put my badger wig back on.
we're going to be going to the classic rewatch and going with the monster of Peladon.
Yes. So, but you can let us know during the interim whether people feel that which of the Peladonian revisits was the one that strikes nearest to you. I'm personally a big fan of the Bride of Peladon from the audio content, but that's just me because I didn't actually have to look at the wigs, but so be it.
But they were still there.
They were still there in my mind.
They can never clear your mind.
Do you know how many polyester creatures died to make these things?
All right. Well, this has been episode 275 of Gallifrey Public Radio. Until next week, this is Jay saying, so which of the companions do we wind up getting stuck with on the desert island next time?
And this is Kier saying, gosh, cannibal headhunters are in the lagoon, and they're preparing a stone roast of Mr. and Mrs. Howell. Doctor!
And this is Haley saying, I almost chose a companion for a couple of these.
Leave it to Haley to break the rules. We'll see you guys next week.
I'll see.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Gallifrey Public Radio. Join us each week for new episodes. We love getting feedback from listeners, so don't hesitate to share your thoughts with us. You can email us at feedback@gallifreypublicradio.com. Tell us on Twitter @GallifreyRadio or on Facebook at facebook.com/GallifreyPublicRadio. You can also leave us a voicemail for inclusion in future shows at 210-802-1477. That's 210-802-1GPR. You should also go to GunnaGeek.com and check out lots of other high-quality geek-centric shows, or visit forums.GunnaGeek.com to talk about anything geeky with us or the community.
I also thought, you know, if you had to resort to cannibalism, which companion would you want to roast over a spit?
Can I go with Angie and Artie Maitland? I mean, I'd go vegetarian before I'd actually eat them. I'm just doing it out of spite.
Just roast them because...